ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. There's football this weekend. Yeah, it's not real, but it's getting close. Let's have some fun. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon.
Yeah, I had to do it, guys, one last time. For those of you that are too young to understand the run that Fred Flatfower and A.J. Hoffman and the Blitz had for 12 years, I'm here to give you a little history lesson to start this show. We're not going to do the whole show this way. I have at least one other surprise planned for you because of the unfortunate passing of our friend Freddie the Falcon, Fred Fowler, last night. But that's something that we had to do because people need to realize how sports radio was changed forever in this market thanks to one Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman and all the things that Fred did, and all the touching tributes have been just amazing since we got the word yesterday. So before we got into the actual show, I really felt that that was apropos. And to be honest with you guys, I was going to actually do one of the least favorite things Fred and AJ thought that myself and Barry Laminek ever did, along with Nick Sharara. But we once broke into the computer when they left it open. And instead of playing their open to the show, we did our own version of it. And I did the part of Fred Fowler, and then, you know, Barry did AJ, and we all had a good time with it, and everybody loved it but Fred and AJ. And I thought, you know what? I went into the production studio with Michael this afternoon, and when Michael played that for me, I said, nope, we're going to play that just as is. So one last time, the Falcon can touch the airwaves and tickle the eardrums of all those people that he touched for all those years. And we're going to miss you, Fred, and as so many have said, you know, spread your wings and fly. But that man had a huge heart. I think I was one of them, the many people that can say that he always came from a good place, even if it wasn't always the best situation. And he touched so many people and helped so many people. So I just wanted to do that to start the show. So, well, like I said, there's at least one more tribute coming throughout the show, but we're going to get into some sports. With that, I bring in Brian McDonald. Obviously, our man Jeremy is doing Cougars basketball tonight, so he's getting ready for that. So it's another big game for the Cougs, and we wish them well. And again, Fred Fowler, massive Houston Cougar fan, massive U of H supporter. It would be nice if the Cougars, obviously for a variety of reasons, win it all. But if they could win it all for Freddie, that would be awesome as well. So B-Mac, welcome in. We got a lot of show to get to today. And as we kind of switch gears and get into the reality of Houston sports, not the best of news coming out of Astros camp today. We found out some news that we didn't need to hear in terms of starting pitching, correct?
Yeah, so Jose Urquidy, it was reported by Chandler Rome, McTaggart, and a few others. He left he had a minor league start today, and he left the game after 43 pitches due to an elbow injury and is now being evaluated by the team doctors. No further report I've heard or seen on the severity of it. But the Astros already had a lot of question marks coming into the season for the starting rotation, despite it being filled with a lot of big names, especially here in the city of Houston. But obviously JV's debut this season is going to be slowed. France probably slowed as well. He's supposed to make his first spring training start tomorrow and go three innings. But now you add to that Jose Urquidy, and you don't know when Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers are getting back. So quite a few question marks going on for the Astros starting rotation going into the season.
Yeah, it really is. And Brian, here's the first thing that kind of hit me when you and I were talking about this. It's not the shoulder. Because you know what? It's been the shoulder.
We knew the shoulder was a recurring issue.
Yeah, the shoulder's been a reoccurring issue. So if it's the shoulder again, it's, you're like, okay, here we go again. However, you're like, okay, he's been over that. He's been done that. He can get through that again.
He knows how to deal with that.
Now it's an elbow.
Now that's I don't know what's worse for a pitcher, a shoulder or an elbow. I mean, you pitched in college. Yeah. You could tell me more than I could. But obviously both are bad. But, yeah, elbow, depending on the severity, I mean, we could be talking about season injury
Well, look at Garrett
stuff.
Cole. You know, look.
Yeah, look at Garrett Cole. Obviously look at Luis Garcia last year.
Yeah, it's not a great situation. Maybe that, in a nutshell, is kind of why we have been getting reports and hearing that the Astros have been kicking the tires on starting pitchers. And if that is indeed the case, and they're looking at starting pitchers and availability of starting pitchers across baseball, maybe whether they knew something was up with him or not, maybe it was that, hey, we can't afford any more potential injuries while we're getting over injuries and dealing with guys that hopefully don't have long-lasting injuries, because we need a rotation that's going to actually do some damage.
There's a lot of injuries in what you just said, and unfortunately that's what the Astros are dealing with. So, I mean, obviously it brings us to kind of the next, what's next for the Houston Astros. I think they were already kind of at a, not necessarily a crossroads, but they were very close to a tipping point where they hadn't quite gotten to what happened last year where, boom, you know, a month into the season, half the starting rotation was gone. But they were already kind of close to a point where if something else went wrong, in addition to what they're already dealing with Verlander in France, it was going to be probably forcing them into a point of action and into having to make a move to add someone else to the team, to make a trade, to sign one of these remaining free agents to bolster their starting rotation to deal with all the names that are either slowed to debut or hurt. And so now what we've heard from Chandler Roan from The Athletic is that, and there's a quote and there's an article up here on The Athletic, but apparently Jim Crane coveted Blake Snell and Josh Hader at last season's trade deadline. Obviously, once he got the chance to actually get Josh Hader this offseason, he went ahead and did so. But it seems like Chandler Roan thinks that there's been interest and there's been a love for Blake Snell, at least since last year's trade deadline. And now maybe you connect the dots with what's happened with Jose Urquidy, the market not really being there for Blake Snell, still on the free agent market. Maybe the Astros try to make a move here, maybe for like a short term. I can't see them locking up Snell on a long deal.
No.
But maybe overpay on an AAV and then get him here for a 1 or 2 year deal.
I think this tells me a lot. You know, I think that one, to what Rome was reporting after, like you said, Crane had coveted both Blake Snell and Josh Hader during last season's trade deadline. We know that Jim Crane, if he's going to make a splash, he wants a tidal wave. He wants a big name. He wants an impact. See Justin Verlander. If he's looking for that, and we also know that he's far from cheap based on the fact that he went out and got Hader after he couldn't get him at the trade deadline and made him the highest paid reliever by AAV in all of baseball history.
Right.
That now that we're over that threshold, we know he's willing to go over the threshold for the tax, that he's looking at, if he does something, depending on how much he's willing to spend, we're looking at a tier two job now in terms of how far over he's going
to
go.
From my understanding, it wouldn't take a massive contract to put them into that next tier. So certainly, if you're going to get Blake Snell here, even if it's a short term, you know, sort of contract that would favor the team and not being locked into long term, having some flexibility with your salary over future years. Even if you do that, you're talking about an AAV. It's got to be north of 20, right? It's got to be probably even encroaching 25. So at that point, it's definitely going to put you into that second level of the luxury tax. But, I mean, Jim Crane, I think, is showing a willingness to do that right now.
I think that's the biggest thing that I took away from this. If he's willing to do that, because if he's not, they're not going to have these conversations. And when you're hearing Chandler Roan and you're seeing the reports that are out there, and Dana Brown has said, look, you know, we've never taken our foot off the gas when it comes to winning and acquiring pitching. And, you know, if Snell's on the market and that's the number one name on the market, and that's a guy that, whether you sign him to a 1 year deal with team options or player options or mutual options or however you care to do it and spin it and look at it, the fact is they're not scared. They're not walking away from an opportunity to realize they are as close as anybody to have a chance to win another title. And they're not going to just stand pat and say, we'll go with what we got, take our best shot, see how it works out. if they know that what they're dealing with the starters right now is worthy of actually seeing what else is out there, and they're not kicking the tires on just ho-hum free agents, if they're looking at top-of-the-market guys, love the fact that this guy's your owner and these people are in charge of your baseball team because you got a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's more conversation, I think, to have here on Snell that we can fit into the segment, so we can certainly carry some of it over. But you brought up what Dana Brown said. The rest of that quote, I mean, specifically talks about Blake Snell. He says, as long as Snell is on the market, we check in and ask what is the latest. He's saying nothing new, but this kind of feels familiar to what we were starting, the rumblings we were starting to hear about Josh Hader before, you know, a few days before Josh Hader was actually signed. So I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but I think we could see the injury to Jose Urquidy. And even though you're having some positive reports on Verlander in France about, you know, maybe nothing serious there, they're delayed, but nothing serious, I think this could be what forces them into some action, because not only do you have a need with those pitchers not being available right now, but if you add Blake Snell on a short-term deal to Verlander, a healthy Verlander, you know, fingers crossed, Framber Valdez, Christian Javier looking better, and then whatever Hunter Brown gives you, I mean, what rotation in the major leagues can top that?
Yeah, no, I like it a lot. And I think that, again, as opposed to having the old Drayton McClain Astros, as opposed to having a cheap owner that says, hey, I kind of won the lottery by winning World Series and having players that have already gotten me so much, I'm not willing to go any further, not really weighing the checks and balances, going, I've made a boat ton of money. I've had multiple ring nights that let me cash in even further. And the window ain't closed yet. Sorry, Nick. Sorry to Jeremy.
The increment of time hasn't closed yet.
The increment of time is not closing on us to the point where they're going to put their foot on the gas. They're going to go forward and still go for it. And as a fan, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, it was certainly frustrating going through the Drayton McClain years, obviously seeing guys like Carlos Beltran walk out, and there's more names. And like, look, names have obviously walked out under Jim Crane's watch with George Springer and Garrett Cole and Carlos Correa. There's a few more names that can add on to that. But, yeah, it's a nice switch because, what, maybe 2-3 months ago, we were – not that we were calling Jim Crane cheap, but 2-3 months ago, we don't think we would have said this about Jim Crane pre-Josh Hader signing, but because he had – to that point, Jim Crane had never gone over the luxury tax in a year where the luxury tax counted until this year with Josh Hader. But I think he's seeing maybe, hey, look, there's not the names, the huge names coming up from AAA. There's not this, you know, next man up that's really available for the Houston Astros. So I think it might have switched his mentality and maybe pushed him even harder in their win now mode to maximize this increment of time while they still have guys like Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker who could be leaving free agency in a couple years.
All right, let us know what you think. We're going to roll this over to the next segment a little bit as well. Continue some Astros talk. What are you looking for? If Crane's willing to go that far, if he's willing to spend that money, if they're willing to kick the tires, do you want a guy like Snell? Do you want a Jordan Montgomery? Do you think it's more important that they get another bat versus a starting pitcher? Where's your head at, especially now knowing the news that Jose Urquidy had suffered some elbow discomfort? Key D word that, of course, the Astros love to use, and we don't know what that's going to mean. We're going to continue to talk some Astros and keep rolling on as we get the show started on a Friday edition of the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
All right, back with more of a Friday edition of the Killer Bees with an RIP to our man Fred Fowler, who passed at the age of 59 yesterday. Caught up with AJ, heard AJ with John and Lance this morning. It was a really good interview. Major props to Fred Fowler for all that he did for so many people and so many people he touched. And we'll come in from segments and from time to time. I'll drop some anecdotes in on my experiences and our experiences with Fred because everybody's mourning today. But before we go any further, Jason wants to get in here on a little bit of the Fred Fowler feel that we've got going today. What's up, Jason?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you, sir.
Yeah, hey, just wanted to touch in on Fred real quick. And listening to a lot of the lineup and all the other hosts saying, you know, they probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Fred and how much they did for their career and everything. Same as the listener. Wouldn't be listening to the station if it wasn't for Fred. 10, 12 years ago, searching around for some sports to listen to that wasn't AM. stumbled upon him and AJ and was hooked right away. Sports, pop culture, you name it. And so to get to continue listening to you guys as well. Wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Fred, so I appreciate that as well.
Yep.
Everything he's done for City of Houston and sports radio, I appreciate that. And real quick, I just want to touch on the Astros as well. If it was up to me, if we get to sign one of these guys, I know Snell's a big name. I'd go Jordan Montgomery, somebody that can eat innings. We saw what he did in the playoffs as well. So I'd take that over the sexy name of Snell. So my two cents. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate the call and the sentiments, especially towards Fred. It's interesting. I will say this.
I had that exact same conversation with a friend at lunch today, the Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery debate.
I did too, because some of the guys at the gym this morning, and I said, look, if you're just looking for value, I think Jordan Montgomery is going to be cheaper no matter what, because you got a two-time Cy Young Award winner in Snell. And Snell obviously is a guy that has had success, but Jordan Montgomery has been on top of his game. And he knows the division, having been with the Rangers. And it's a double whammy because the Rangers don't get him, you get him. And I don't know if he's going to be as willing to take a one-year deal, but these guys aren't pitching right now. The season's about to start. And if he's looking to kind of just, you know, reprove himself, get on a squad for a year at a cheaper price when we start talking about how much Crane's willing to spend, I'm fine with Jordan Montgomery as well.
I'd be fine with you. Yeah, I'd want to talk to both, see where both of their heads are at, and I would be fine with whoever was willing to give me the cheaper AAV on a one-year deal. That would be kind of, I would talk to both of them where, you know, what's it going to take? And if one tells me 25, the other tells me 22, I'm going with the guy that says 22. That's kind of where my head's at.
The biggest thing too is the fact that
I think both of them get the job done for you.
Yeah. But the biggest thing too is this is not just like the A's calling or the Royals.
Sure.
You know, you're a team, and obviously I'm sure the Yankees, because the Yankees have been kicking the tires on everybody, but now suddenly they might not be in as go-for-it mode as they said they were going to be. Maybe they're pulling back because they have spent a lot of money and committed a lot.
Soto. You got to go for it.
Yeah, you would think, right? But at the same time, if you go, hey, you're going to have every ample opportunity to be in big games with a big-time team, with a chance to win it all, which means national TV, and you're going to get exposure. If you want to truly have another year where you have to prove yourself, this is a spot for you to do it and walk right into a situation where while we sort out injuries with our starting pitching, you could be right in the heat and the thick of things, getting all the attention and getting all the credit when you pitch well.
Yeah, certainly if they're having to look at a one-year prove-it deal, all eyes are going to be on them if they're, you know, in a pennant race with the Houston Astros. So I see your point there. It definitely could benefit those guys as far as helping their future value if they're able to be in these big-time moments with all the eyes on them. I don't know where you fall on the Snell versus Montgomery debate. Like, Snell obviously is – I mean, obviously, he's got two Cy Youngs. He's a great, great pitcher. But we saw some inconsistency between those two Cy Youngs. In the four seasons between those two Cy Youngs, he had two seasons – of an ERA north of 4.20. So I worry a little bit, and not that Montgomery certainly doesn't have the upper high side of what Snell can give you. Snell's, you know, best potential season is better than Montgomery's potential season. But I might lean, especially if the contract is cheaper, I might lean Montgomery given the inconsistencies we've seen from Snell sometimes when he's not in a contract year.
Yeah, no. I mean, you could weigh it both ways, right? Montgomery's had injuries in the past, but Montgomery, the last thing that we saw of him was just mowing people down. He was pitching his tail off, right? So you have that to look at. From a Snell perspective to me, Brian, what it tells me is when you take a two-time Cy Young Award winner and a guy coming off winning the award and he's not signed – that means you've priced yourself out of the market.
Or maybe the teams are asking the same questions we're asking. Like, what was up with those four seasons between your Cy Youngs?
But yet, you know, I always call it my Janet Jackson philosophy. But it's okay. Done for me lately? Well, you won a damn Cy Young on a team that wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So you did what you were supposed to do, but then why aren't you signed? You're a two-time Cy Young Award winner. You're the reigning Cy Young Award winner in the National League. And yet we're getting closer and closer to the start of the regular season. You don't have a spot.
Yeah, it must be the price, and that's kind of been a theme with a lot of the Scott Boras guys. Obviously, we saw Cody Bellinger take a long time to get signed. Jordan Montgomery, in addition to Blake Snell, obviously not signed. It might just be a problem for Scott Boras guys trying to set their market too high, and that'll be interesting to see how that affects and relates to Alex Bregman this next offseason. But I'm curious. So I pulled up Spotrac for Blake Snell's market value. And maybe this is a part of why he's not signed. They're estimating his market value at 6 years, 143. Obviously, no one's giving him that right now. Otherwise, he'd be signed. But they have his AAV listed at 23.9. So that kind of brings it to the question of, what would you give Snell on a short-term deal if you're Jim Crane and the Astros to get him on a one-year, two-year deal? Would you meet that AAV, which, again, $23.9 million on a one- or two-year deal? So 1 year, let's say 1 year 24 or 2 years 50, just to make it a round number.
I'm going lower than that to start because I got to believe that the offers
are
dwindling.
But would you go up to that number?
Yeah, I think I could go 25 a year. I think I could. I think I'm starting at 18. And I'm saying, hey, I'm going to give you 18 for one. If you want to do
maybe
an
a mutual option,
yeah,
for year
mutual
two.
Option for year two, we can go second year option at say 23 if he has a good year, because you can always, you know, there's no commitment from you,
right.
You get out of it, and yet you're, and then with all the other things that you're enticing him with to play with this team, with the chance to win another one, you know, and do some of the things he hasn't done, I think that especially when as it relates to Snell, you're looking at and you're going, hey, that seems like something he should be interested in, want to sign up for, because a lot of the teams he'd like to get back at, like the Yankees, if they did Bauckite him after they were initially interested in him, from what you hear, he could go back and get the Yankees real quick. He's got a path to get to the World Series pretty quickly, because if not for the Yankees, the Braves and the Dodgers are going to be the two beasts in the National League. That's going to be a war. There's a real clear path for you to get to the World Series, and you help to push that team over the top. You get the credit in part. But you have a chance to get where and get back at everything that has kind of laid the groundwork for you being in this situation. And then from the standpoint of Boris, what you have to ask yourself, going all the way back to Dallas Keuchel, are you handling these situations the right way? Because I don't understand a guy with the resume of a Blake Snell and coming off one of his best seasons at another Cy Young, how he's sitting. Dallas Keuchel, I get it. He didn't have an overpowering fastball. Yeah, he had one good year, but he was looking for a monster deal for like 10, 11 years. He was looking for long, long term. He had to sign a one-year deal, reprove himself, and he still never got what he could have gotten from the Astros, who they offered all along, a deal that would have been better than anything he got. From a Snell perspective, aside from his age, I'm looking at this and I'm going, are you doing this wrong, Scott Boras?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I couldn't pinpoint to, you know, what exactly is happening here, but there certainly seems to be a trend with these Scott Boras clients. Could it be that they're asking too much? Could it be a silent, like, no written word collusion amongst owners? It's like, look, let's just wait this guy out because he's bullied us around for too long. I mean, obviously, there's no way you could possibly prove that. But it does start to look and seem a little bit fishy when this routinely is happening with basically his guys and his guys only year after year. So that'll be interesting. I hadn't thought of the revenge angle for Snell, but that certainly plays into factor, I think. I think really between these two guys, and I mean, I'd be willing to go to 25 with Snell. I'm fine with starting off as 18, as you mentioned, and ultimately I'd probably take who's cheaper. But I think of the two, I think the most motivated to sign with the Astros would be Snell, because at least with Montgomery, he's got a ring, right? He got his ring last year.
He might be chasing the dollars.
Right. You got your ring, chase the dollars. I could see him holding out for every last dollar and penny, whereas Snell, who doesn't have the ring, he's got the two Cy Youngs, but he doesn't have the ring. I could see him being more motivated to take the 1 or 2 year deal, come in, try to chase a ring, and then try to go out and get another contract.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Let's do this. You guys can call in at any time with your memories of Fred throughout the show. I know the guys before us have done a great job throughout the day kind of reminiscing. AJ's been on. The General John McClain's been on. People that knew Fred. We're going to do our regular show, but we'd be remiss if we didn't include Fred. So if you do have a memory, we're going to try and lead off breaks with some of the anecdotes. I'll share some of mine as well, but if you want to join in at all times, 713-780-3776. Call or text us. I'll try and share them throughout the show. And, of course, you can reach us on Twitter, at PacManJoel with a K, at SackedByBMAC, as Brian and I take you through the show with Jeremy doing Cougar basketball. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Vanderford. Vanderford Air, because the people at Vanderford are unbelievable. The people at Vanderford Air take care of Houstonians. And the best way I can tell you that they do that is because they aren't afraid to back their service. That means if they're doing a repair for you, whether it's a plumbing issue, because they do amazing work on plumbing and repiping and all the different things that you might need that are connected with plumbing, but their HVAC repair work and their HVAC work is absolutely top shelf as well. They do both, and they do it like a local company should, caring about their customers. So they back it with 100% money-back guarantee. That means a five-step guarantee that makes sure that you are satisfied and pleased with all the work they do. Repair, replacement, it doesn't matter. Plumbing or HVAC, it doesn't matter. They are going to give the best value to you at the lowest cost to you. They are going to make sure your comfort assurance guarantee is in place. Even the temperature. The quality workmanship guarantee is meaning that they'll do everything to make sure your system works well to your satisfaction. The performance guarantee means whatever they do, a part or the new system, operates at factory standards. And the final one that means the most to you, the 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That means if you aren't satisfied, you ain't paying for it. They got your back, no matter how hot or cold the situation may be. You know the hot days are coming. You know you're going to need help. Maybe get your system checked out before it's too late, and they can tell you what's going on. Or maybe you want to get a new system in before the heat comes. Check out VanderfordAir.com or simply call them 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, back on a Remember the Falcon Friday edition of Killer Bees. Jeremy's doing Cougar basketball. Brian McDonald, myself, taking you till 5:30 where Aggie basketball and their tournament semifinal game comes up at 5:30. But in the meantime, I want you guys to start every segment. If I get a text, if I get a call, if I get somebody with a memory of Fred Fowler, then I'm going to intersplice some of mine as well. I want to get them in because I want people to remember who Fred Fowler was. And if you didn't know him, to understand this is a man that had a massive heart that everybody eloquently put is like Norm in Cheers, where, you know, you're only a stranger once with Fred. Everybody knew his name. And Fred was always trying to help. Even Jeremy said, you know, he took him under his wing, and he worked with him when he didn't have to. I remember AJ and I were obviously, a lot of you guys know, oil and water when I first got here. And AJ resented that I worked for an NBA team, and that was, you know, too corporate and too big, and he was who he was, and we had our differences. And Fred was the guy that got in the middle, and Fred was like wanting both of us to succeed, and it was amazing to me how. And I was talking to Todd before the show, and I said, to think about the fact that Todd paired me with Barry when Barry was friends with Fred and AJ, and I was working with Barry and Travis Johnson, and I thought I was going to work with Travis because Travis and I actually got along, and they told me I was going to work with Barry. And I thought to myself at the time, I remember going home and saying, this is never going to work because this dude and I don't like each other, and we aren't going anywhere. And then I remember the same thing. I was fighting with AJ for the first couple months I was here, and Fred was in the middle. Just like Fred, who was a friend of Barry's, was working with me on that. And suddenly now you take all that time that's passed and you look back and say, Barry's one of my better friends. AJ and I are friends, and we were texting yesterday and today about Fred and memories and all the things we had been through. And it was all because of Fred. Fred brought everybody together, and I think the biggest sign of that was the one person that I can always remember when I heard some of the guys talking about. People said, oh, never, no one ever said a bad word about Fred. Well, I actually worked with one, and I was right in the middle of it. And Nick Sharara and I were doing a show, and Fred had one of those days where he was listening with a different orifice and heard something that we didn't say and tried to call us out for it. And I was mad. I wanted to correct it. And Nick, obviously, if you guys remember, went hard at him. So much so that AJ, of course, to stir the pot, had him on to start the blitz after that. So much so that Granato had him on in the morning after that. But yet, I texted Nick last night, and Nick and I and Barry started a text conversation where not only did we remember the good times and feel really bad that we lost Fred, but then kind of indirectly realized, thanks to Fred, we created a show that did things we never thought it could do. We were number one after they were number one for you know, and did all the things they did in 12 years. everybody here put that show together, and when we reached number one, and we were the number one show in the city for months, we were like, damn, that's unbelievable. And Fred was part of the reason why it was all brought together. And now Fred was bringing us together again last night and this morning to share texts to say that we are friends for life because of Fred. And I think that's what Fred did for so many. He had a huge heart, and he was an awesome individual. So before we go any further, Houston has a call on Fred. Welcome to the show, man.
What's up, Barry? How are you? Sports to you, man.
Sports to you as well, my friend.
Buddy, I want to tell you, man, I started listening to Matt, the Superstar Dean, and Fred back when they were on from 12 to 2, and they always talked poker and betting and sports. And I was actually driving around in my boss's truck all day, picking up paychecks and just doing little errands and stuff like that. That's when I got the call, catch all the time, man. And one last thing, like, just we listen to those guys, being buddies of mine. That's all we did. We follow those guys to live events. We just worship AJ's feet for the most part, man.
Well, that's a mistake you made that I can't correct.
Sir?
That's a mistake you made I can't correct. But, you know, that you know, not everybody's perfect.
We eventually got over it. Last thing I wanted to say, man, is don't forget the Astros tombstone on the Chronicle. You cannot forget the Astros tombstone.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. That was a monumental mistake that the Chronicle made that obviously the Astros came back from. But you know, appreciate the call, Houston. From the standpoint of what Fred meant to so many too. I mean, we mentioned that, but I remember going to Dallas to cover a fight with Fred and AJ and Nick. And Fred was having one of those nights where he was feeling good and he was drinking, and I was obviously drinking because AJ thought that I couldn't drink just because I didn't, and I was drinking with them, and we got a round of shots, and we gave Fred his shot, and about 100 miles an hour, as quick as he did that shot, he spit it all over Nick. And then he proceeded to MF Nick, and he was mad, and he was blaming Nick for something. He fell over backwards. And here's Nick and I picking him up, getting him a couple glasses of water, sitting him on a couch. 5 minutes later, Fred was right back in the ballgame. He was talking to us. He was shooting baskets out back at a bar that we were at. And he was right back to his jovial self. And he had a knack for being a survivor and being one hell of a guy. So keep the conversation going on Fred. And we'll take those continuously throughout the show. But great input from you guys so far on a guy that was a great dude, gone too soon at 59 years old, RIP to the Falcon, Fred Fowler. So we were talking Astros, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts. You know, and BMAC and I were asking you guys, you know, which way do you want to go? Who do you want? Because essentially right now, BMAC, it's a two-horse race. It's essentially Snell and Montgomery if you want a pitcher. You know, I earlier was on J.D. Martinez. But right now, the way it looks, I think they've moved on from a bat.
Yeah, that would be a tough fit unless you're comfortable with J.D. Martinez playing the outfield. I'm not really comfortable with him playing the outfield. So if he's a DH and a DH only, that obviously creates a complication with
Jordan. He could play some first base. They played him there in the past, but I'm not looking at him to be a first baseman. And I think right now, especially based on the news, if you missed it again today, Urquidy was taken out of his minor league start with elbow discomfort. He's meeting with the medical professionals. They're trying to figure out what's going on. But, of course, now the injuries continue to pile and stack and rack because you already were without Garcia and McCullers till midseason. You're waiting on JV and you're waiting on JP, and now you've got this issue with Urquidy, and now it looks like the more pressing issue might be to get yourself a little bit more insurance in the starting pitcher category. And there's some good ones that are still out there. Why? I don't know. But because they're still out there, you still have an ability to fix it before the season even starts.
Yeah, I hate to use the word desperate, but I think this could make the Astros, or at least put them in a place where they might feel some desperation, might feel some urgency to make a move. Because right now, without Lance, without Luis Garcia, waiting for JV, who I think best case scenario is back mid-April, but probably closer to May. If there's any setback or delay on JP France, they said a couple weeks ago that they were penciling him in right now as the fifth starter. I don't see how that's possible when he hasn't even thrown a minor or a Grapefruit League game, and he will throw his first one tomorrow. So if France is not ready to go in the first trip through the rotation without Jose Urquidy, without Justin Verlander, without Garcia, without LMJ, who's your five? I mean, obviously, Fromber and Javier and Hunter Brown are your 1-2-3. But then maybe Ronel Blanco becomes your four, and who's the fifth pitcher at that point? So, look, I mean, you hope Verlander in France and Luis García and LMJ come back and are full go at whatever they do for the rest of the season. But that's a lot to rely on, a lot of question marks to rely on for me. I don't feel comfortable going into the season with that many question marks, that much uncertainty, because we saw how we were so certain last year about the rotation, and snap of a finger, Thanos got rid of half of it. So I would hope they make the move for Snell, because there's so much uncertainty right now with the rotation.
So you're Snell over Montgomery?
Well, like I said, I would go whoever's cheaper. If it's the same, I'd go Snell, but I'd be fine with Montgomery if he's cheaper.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, it's hard to go wrong with, no matter if you think he has a medical history or not, what he did last year, because he was, no matter where he went, he had success. He left the Yankees. He went to the Cardinals. He left the Cardinals. He went to the Rangers. The bottom line is he was mowing people down, getting guys down. And then when the stage was the biggest, when the lights were the brightest, when they needed him the most on a team that desperately needed pitching, he steps up and he becomes your horse for the Rangers down the stretch. We saw it firsthand, where you realize there's nothing to believe that there's not more of that to come if he just finds a landing spot.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Astros were on the wrong side of Montgomery. I don't remember if it was game one or game two of that ALCS, but he certainly got to them. I would not be disappointed at all. Like, I lean Snell, but don't hear what I'm not saying. I would not be disappointed at all in Jordan Montgomery. I think Snell just has a slightly higher upside. But if the Astros end up signing...
You're going short-term.
Yeah, if it ends up being Jordan Montgomery on a 1 or 2 year deal, and that's the answer for, you know, the question marks the Astros have in the rotation, I am not sad at all. I am still extremely excited. I am not quite printing World Series tickets, but I think the Astros have fixed their biggest problem going into the season to be able to get back to the World Series. I just think Snell has a tiny bit more upside, but if it's Jordan Montgomery, I'm still super excited about it.
There you go. Who do you want if you want? Let us know, 713-780-3776. Call us or text us. Let us know. Do you want them to make another splash? Do you want them to go out and make sure you're insured before the season starts and get a starting pitcher? And if you do you want Snell or do you want Montgomery? Let us know all that, and, of course, share us your memories and all the fond memories of Fred Fowler on this day today as we lost Freddie yesterday. Lots more to get to, 713-780-3776. Before we go to the break, though, I do want to tell you about my good friends at X Golf. I went to X Golf multiple times now, and I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for golf simulators that are as close to realistic as you've ever seen in playing the game of golf, you got to go to X Golf in Katy. It's at 99 and I-10. And I'm telling you, Chris, my man, he put this place up. He put everything in it. He put the best simulators I've ever seen with the most accurate golf putting simulator I've ever been on. And it's just amazing what you can do. But basically, he took a twofer. He took the best sports bar setup that he could think of, put it with the best golf simulators, and said, hey, if you get rained out on your tee time, come golf with us. If you want to work on your game after hours, come golf with us. If you want to watch sports and watch the basketball tournaments and get great food and beverage and hang out in a sports bar environment where you could also golf, come hang out with us. Check out X Golf Katy online, and you are going to be so glad you did. You can use it as a practice range. You can play 50 courses worldwide that are accurate. And the simulators are so accurate, you can track every shot, every direction that the ball takes. You can even play with your own golf balls if you want. Tell them I sent you by, because I could not be happier to speak for them, because I think the place is awesome. Check out X Golf and Katy today.
To the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we're going to get to some of the Texans news of the day, too, because, yes, the first hour has been full of Astros talk because of the D word, the big D in Jose Urquidy, elbow. And the fact that
I'm so confused where you're going at
that
first.
We have, because we know how much the Astros
the
PR department loves the D word, discomfort. We'll figure that one out as we go. But now it obviously behooves us to ask the question, are you looking for starting pitching? Are you good? Do you want them to go get another one? And if you do you want Snell? Do you want Montgomery? Is there someone else that we're missing that you want to get on that list and see if they're going to spend some more money and give another insurance policy to a team that looks like it's loaded for another World Series title. I also said throughout the show, I want you guys to give me your memories of Fred Fowler. You can call, you can text him in. Some of the great ones are coming in, some good comments. Some people said, look, the blitz got 9695 said the blitz got me into the station, and then there was the usual suspects. Thank you. I really remember the poker tournaments that Fred got going during the pandemic, and I got to play some with him. Just thought that was really cool, the way to waste some money and have some fun for the people. Corey sent that in. Corey, we appreciate you. That's good stuff. Lots of others coming in. Fred simply uplifted me. He was on a remote in Beaumont, and we walked outside to smoke. I noticed he had a flat tire, and he stayed after the show. I noticed I had a flat tire. He stayed after the show and helped me change it. Solid guy. He'll be missed. Look, the following that the Blitz developed in Beaumont that Barry and I found out about when we started doing remote shows with the Blitz when we went to the 409 was amazing. And we were lucky enough to kind of develop some of those people into suspects and carry them on as well. But every single time Fred and AJ walked into, no matter which place we were in the 409, people love the Blitz and people love Fred. So I think those are really good ones. Some people said Fred made me some money at Sam Houston with his horse picks. He knew his ponies. He knew them well. He shared tips with you. And then he also was pretty quick to share how good he was when he got the winnings. But, yeah, that's definitely another thing Fred should be remembered for is exactly that, his love for horse racing and his ability to pick the ponies. All right, Patrick wants to chime in here as we get back into the Astros talk. Snell, Montgomery, who do you want? Do you want either or neither? What do you got going, Patrick?
Well, first off, I never listened to any of Fred's shows. I just wanted to give my condolences to all of y'all for the loss of your colleague and condolences to his family. It sounds like he was a great man.
Yes, thank you, Patrick.
But on Montgomery versus Snell, I kind of wanted to get y'all's take on, obviously Snell, he's the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, but I feel like our biggest concern is going to be our middle bullpen relief. We only, without Graveman and losing Maton and Panic and those guys, I worry about that. Is you worried about Snell making it past 5-6 innings? I'll hang up now, guys. Thank y'all.
So, appreciate it, Patrick. Look, here's the thing. You're set 7-8-9, right? So, your middle relief, if you add one of those two guys, whether it is Snell or Montgomery, for the sake of the conversation, as you mentioned with Snell, JV's going to be back sooner rather than later, it looks. Fromber's going to be your opening day starter. They just named that. They just said that today, but Fromber's there. Javier looked great the other day. He's in the mix. Hunter Brown's there. He's in the mix. And now instead of Urquidy, if you add Snell or Montgomery, there's your five guys right now. That means Blanco goes to the middle relief that you're talking about. Blanco's sure been mowing people down. If Blanco's your sixth inning guy, all your starters got to do is get to the fifth.
And fully healthy, France would be in the bullpen as well.
Right.
So, yeah. Right. I get, obviously, it's a valid concern that Patrick brought up. Snell, especially in those years between Cy Young Award wins that we referenced earlier, where he had two seasons with an ERA of 4.20 or higher, there was a lot of issues he had with four-inning starts, barely getting to five. And I could see that being a concern for a team like the Astros who have had some depth question marks for their middle relief, especially after Rafael Montero got rocked again just the other day. But like you said, once JV returns, if you add Snell, JV returns, I think you're out of space with the rotation, as long as they stay healthy, mm-hmm. not a given, where you could then put guys like Blanco and JP France in that middle relief. And then at that point, I'm not as concerned, because even if Snell, let's say, worst case possible, he goes four innings, Blanco could easily give you two. Yep. And then now you're bridging the gap to the higher
Seth relievers. Martinez can give you two if right. you need it. And then again, now, and then if the offense cooks the way it looks like it's capable of cooking, especially when my favorite target, Jake Meyers, is giving me little
another home
little
run
ammunition for me to pick on because of the way he's playing right now offensively, especially that this lineup's going to be so much better than it was a year ago. You and I talked about this the other day, Brian, that they have the capability of being the top offense in baseball, if not just the American League, if not one of the top four offenses in baseball. And when you have that coupled with the kind of starting pitching that we're talking about possibly having and the bullpen, that's a recipe for a lot of success. And you don't need a whole lot more. But because it is so vital, and we know how starting pitching translates to wins in this league, if you know that you're going to be dealing with injuries and you're not afraid to go out and get one more guy, it just increases the chance that everything else is in place for you to have one hell of a season.
I think fans are remembering what they saw most recently as far as, Astros World Series runs. In 2022, when they were in the World Series, obviously they had a great offense, they had a great starting staff, but I think a lot of people accredit the success they had to an unbelievable bullpen, and they're right to do so. Presley, Abreu, Montero even at that point in time were absolutely lights out. It was one of the best bullpens, if not the best bullpen in baseball, and it kind of arguably led the team to World Series win. But let's not forget, there's obviously more ways they can go about it. Even if the middle relief is questionable, look what happened in 2017. That was more a team led by offense and their starting staff, because you had Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers essentially serving as the back end of the Astros, bullpen during that World Series run in 2017. So, I'm not as concerned. I get the idea of why Snell being, not going past five innings, if that was the case, why that would be a concern. But the Astros have 7-8-9 lockdown. They have guys like France and Blanco and fully healthy that could bridge the gap. And even if there is a hole there, I think all the other things around it, as you mentioned, with the offense and the starting staff, are good enough to overcome it.
That's it. You got a bridge. You only need it for one inning for the most part. And let's not forget, Verlander likes to go deep. He doesn't like to give the ball up. He obviously is chasing wins now. And
so
maybe
does Fromber.
But I was going to say, you start going up and down the list. Javier's the first guy because of pitch count where you would say, okay, five might be a max, but he looks like a different pitcher. He looks like he's back to his old self. To maybe, that it's going to be easier for him to have, less pitches given and more of a chance to get into the six or deeper. But Fromber's good. You know that JV's good. Hunter Brown's a guy that if he's got his stuff, he's at least going to give you five, but he's capable.
He profiles as a guy, if he hits his potential, he profiles as a guy that's going to be a horse that gets you six, sometimes even seven.
That's why, with the back of that bullpen as set up as it is, you have enough guys to fill in the gap and bridge the one to two innings that you're going to need, even if it's a different guy in, multiple nights. Plus, with the offense as good as it is, you're not going to worry about it as much because it's not going to be a tied game or a one-run game. Presumably, with the offense that they have, they're going to be putting up crooked numbers, and it should be a pad of a two- or three-run lead that you're trying to protect until you give it to the back of the bullpen.
Yeah, look, we mentioned some of the – not red flags, it's way too strong of a word, but we mentioned some of the reasons, earlier why we might have a little bit of concern on Snell, but it wouldn't be because of what the Astros have in middle relief. I get that that's probably the weakest spot on the team, but I think fully healthy, the Astros starting rotation has enough guys that can get past the spot where a middle reliever might be used. They can get you all the way to a Brian Abreu in the seventh inning. And also think, like we've mentioned a couple of times now, once you're fully healthy, guys like J.P. France or Rondo Blanco can bridge the gap. So I get why that might be something people could be concerned about, because Snell does have a track record at times as being a guy that doesn't go super deep into games. But I wouldn't let that stop me from signing someone with his upside who could be, let's say this. I don't know if you'll agree with this, Joel, but Snell, at last year's form, could be the best starting pitcher on a team that already has Verlander, Javier, Fromber, and a bunch of really talented starters.
If you're the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner, there's no reason to believe that you can't be the best pitcher with Verlander, maybe because of age and injury history alone, taking a half step back, with Fromber being a little uncertain, with Javier, as good as he's looked in spring training, being a little uncertain. But here's a guy that someone texted in and made the point as well. He's hungry to win one. He's never won one, no matter how many Cy Youngs he's won and how much money he's trying to get. He's hungry to win one. I mean, if you look at, obviously, the top four teams in baseball, the Astros are one of them, which means in both leagues, because you got the Braves and you got the Dodgers in the National League, if not the Astros in the American League, then it's the Rangers, the reigning World Series champs, who have all kinds of pitching issues themselves. Or whether you think the Orioles are able to turn the corner. No matter what, you're not betting against the Astros in the American League because they have experience, they have the same core group, they have a better offense, and they have the back of the bullpen that no other team in baseball can compete with.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, if they sign Snell, I think there will still be a decent amount of, experts and pundits that want to put the Braves and the Dodgers as the two favorites to win the World Series. But obviously, both of them can't get to the World Series. So looking specifically at the American League, I think obviously the Orioles were a 100-win team last season. They added Corbin Burns from your Brewers. So I could definitely see them being a popular pick. Sorry. Yeah. You've been gone from Milwaukee for a long time.
Everybody knows I'm an Astros fan.
I know. I'm just teasing a little bit. But I mean, I think they will be a popular World Series pick with the addition of Corbin Burns. But look, it's still a young team. It's still a team that's got some bullpen issues with some of their guys being hurt in that bullpen. So I would still pick the Astros as favorite over the Orioles. They
have holes in their lineup. They had guys that had career years after being acquired in trades just to kind of give them the spots in the lineup where they look strong. But you're looking at guys that Santander's got to keep performing. You know, you've got to have guys that continue to step up. The young guys that look like the top prospects have to, like, continue to stay healthy and grow. The Astros, the only holes you had were, like, Maldi. Now if it's Jake and Jake's hitting, and then if Pena's been up and down, or if can Chaz do it again, the rest of the guys, for the most part, you believe in. Abreu's obviously another guy, but even at his worst, he still wasn't awful, and then he found it again.
He found it in the postseason. Yeah, I mean, the Orioles were a 100-win team last season, and they got to the postseason, and the Rangers just ran right through them. And they didn't even make it to the ALCS. So, yeah, I think the Orioles obviously have – and probably will be, in a couple years' time, the best team in the American League. I don't know, is that 2025? Is that 2026? I'm not sure. But I don't think it's 2024. It's not yet. The Astros are still the best team. Corbin Burns certainly levels up the Orioles a little bit, but it's still a roster in Baltimore that relies on a lot of young guys that haven't done it yet, as comparison to the Astros, which is a roster littered with all guys who have not only done it, but done it multiple times.
All right, we got to get to a break, top of the hour, then we're going to come back with a whole lot more. We got to get some Texans news, too. I believe the days of our making mock drafts great again might have been thrown by the wayside by a little wrinkle that was thrown in it by Nick Caserio this morning. We'll talk to that as we get into hour number two. Don't go anywhere. More of the Killer Bees on a Friday honoring Fred Fowler. Coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.